All right, Tribe, this is Tyson Johnson sitting here with my wife, Sherry Johnson, and we wanted to host an audio recording just on who she is and her background. I know you've seen a lot of different posts from me, but I know there's a lot of women in the group as well, and thought that her perspective and lifestyle that she's built is really powerful. It's really blessed our family. And so I'm just going to go through and ask her a bunch of questions and let her share her perspective. So, Sherry, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself, talk a little bit about your past, your background with health and fitness, just those types of things.
Okay. Hello, everybody. My name's Sherry, and I'm 39 years old. I've always been a physically active person because my parents were such good examples of that and kind of required that of us as kids, which I'm really grateful for. We were always in some type of sport or dance or gymnastics, that kinds of thing. And my parents both exercised about 6 days a week and were just a good example of that. I never knew anything different, you know, and even in the summertime when we were out of school, before we could go swimming, my dad would have us all run a mile. And so just that's kind of, I developed a love for being physically active and later on with fitness, my brothers and I started to weightlift in high school, and my brother had a weight bench in the backyard, and we would go back there and lift weights together for hours. It was so fun. I love those times with my brothers. And later on, I went on to college and I received my bachelor's with a degree in fitness and wellness management. And I also became a certified personal trainer through the American College of Sports Medicine. And later also got my master's degree in secondary teaching. And so I spent 2 years teaching junior high and high school physical education and health classes, coaching volleyball, doing all that. And when I had our first son, I retired from teaching, and now I'm a stay-at-home mom of 3 boys. So that's kind of my background.
And one of the things you guys will find as we go through this is that's a pretty unique background. Not all of us have that or were raised with that.
Right.
But one of the things, our message is for the group, is that this can be, you can start where you're at now, regardless of your background, and move forward the best that you can. But that great background, appreciate you sharing that. So busy through college, got advanced schooling, 3 boys. There's a lot of women who can relate probably to that lifestyle, whether they're working or homemakers or retired, just the busy schedule. How have you been able to fit in health and fitness just over the years so consistently? Like, what's worked for you?
I think it's something that's always been important to me. I like how I feel when I exercise. I feel that I can look and feel my best. It kind of gives me more confidence when I know that I'm taking care of myself that way. I'm healthier. I know I have more energy when I do, and it really can add structure to my day. Something that you have to really do, though, is make it a priority. And that's something I've always tried to do, is to set aside time, like an actual block of time every day that I'm going to exercise. And preferably I like to do it first thing in the morning, kind of gets me up and at 'em and ready for the day. But there are days where that does not work. And so, you know, you have to be flexible and improvise. And sometimes I exercise at, you know, around lunchtime, sometimes late at night after the kids have gone to bed. It just depends, but I make sure that it happens every day. Some days are longer than others with exercise, you know. Some days I get 45 minutes to an hour workout, and other days maybe a 30-minute workout. I set aside that time, and I tell my kids, like, this is my time. Don't interrupt me, and, you know, hold all your questions for later or whatever you need, because I need this time for myself. And that may sound selfish, and it maybe even felt a little selfish when I first started doing that, but I do need that time. I think it helps me a lot to be a better mom, you know, to have that time to just focus on my health and being able to do that. So, yeah.
And we've definitely learned as a family to, unless it's an emergency, we've kind of had to learn the hard way over the years that if we want to stay on mom's good side, leave her alone when she's working out. So that's protected time. So, and by the way, you guys, as we go through this, and as you have questions, make note of this and just reply in the comments, because we'll be keeping an eye at things you want to dive deeper into. We'll either reply or we can do a follow-up interviews or things. So, so Sherry, shortly after we had met, I heard about a unique car accident you've been in. You've faced your fair share of injuries, and have still found a way to be consistent with this. If you don't mind, maybe you could talk about just general obstacles. Like me, I've had herniated discs that I've had to work through. I think most people listening either have an illness or an injury or will have one, and will have to work through that instead of just giving up on their being fit and healthy. So what have you experienced, and how have you worked through that?
There's definitely been obstacles through the years. I've had plenty of sports injuries, you know, and with those, obviously, just you have to take the time to heal properly. I've tried to start back into exercise way too soon sometimes and end up injuring myself further. So it's important to, you know, take the time to heal correctly and fully before you start back into exercise. As Tyson mentioned, I actually was hit by a car when I was out running one day in college, and it was a hit and run. And thankfully, it just clipped my leg, but it really messed up my leg. I got a really bad sprain from it, and also some really deep cuts on my foot that took a long time to heal, and I've never quite been the same since then. So that really changed my mode of exercise. I was really into running and things when I was in my 20s, and I've had to modify that from the different injuries and things that I've had to kind of a less impact. So the elliptical machine is now really good to be on for cardio. Has a lot less impact than treadmills and outdoor running. Although I do still try to run every once in a while, just because I love it so much, but I have to, you know, I've had to definitely cut back on how far I go and things like that because of just the injuries that I have. Other health issues I've had, some are physical and others are emotional and mental. I have a chronic anxiety disorder that I struggle with, and exercise has not always been easy with that. This disorder can also cause some depression and things, and when you don't feel like even getting out of bed in the morning, exercise can seem like climbing a mountain or something. But those days I literally had to force myself to do it, and I always felt better after I did it. So that's another reason that I'm so diligent about it. It's not just about how you look, it's about how you feel, and taking care of yourself in every aspect of your life, not just physically, but exercise can help you emotionally and mentally as well by lifting your mood and helping you have more energy and things like that. Another problem I had when my early 20s is And I had an eating disorder. I was anorexic for almost 5 years. Mildly anorexic from about 17 to 22 years old. But it's one of those things, though, that I've learned how important moderation is. You know, sometimes we think that more is better, you know, and that's kind of how I felt. Like, well, the more I exercise, the better it is. The less I eat, the better it is, you know, that kind of thing. But there's danger in being extreme, and it's not good for your health to be extreme in either direction, you know, whether you're completely inactive totally or if you're too active. You got to find that middle ground and find that moderation in your life to keep that health in all aspects of your life.
And we'll come back to that. That certainly shaped our family in terms of our eating, our exercise, just moderation, things that are sustainable long term. Let's pause for a minute, and we had a few questions just as we were preparing for this. One of which, I'm just going to read this from our Facebook group. It says, what have we taught our growing boys about healthy eating, like food groups, food proportions, that's basically helped our family? That's one question. Then a part B to that is, we showed them that video about us running around the pond out back on a Saturday. What other things have you found helps, I guess, kids be involved with exercise? So kind of a generational eating and exercise. How do we distill this down?
Mm-hmm. Yes, and so many of you are so good with this. So I realize I'm not the expert on this at all, but just some things that have helped in our family with our kids, like teaching them healthy habits. I feed them vegetables from the minute they're able to eat solid foods, basically. And so they grow up for it with it and kind of acquire a taste for it. And so all three of our boys are really good about eating vegetables and fruit. There are definitely some they like more than others. So we typically serve them the ones they'll eat because it's important they'll, you know, eat vegetables. But as they've gotten older, though, and able to kind of help a little bit, I have them help make their own lunch sometimes. And I've taught them, you know, like, here's what a balanced meal looks like and what that involves and everything. And so now when I see them, you know, kind of making their own sandwich or something, I'll say, okay, what's going to go with that? And they'll say, I know, some carrots or an apple or, you know, something like that. But they know, and they do it because they understand that principle of balance and portions. We also try to limit their desserts. I love treats. I know I eat chocolate every day, but it's the portion size that, you know, we control, and try to let them have something sweet every day, but just not tons of it. Also, just like in the summertime, having good habits for your kids too. Like, we tried this a few years ago, and it worked really well. That we called it 10-10-10, and that means when you wake up first thing in the morning in the summertime, you spend 10 minutes saying your prayers, reading your scriptures, 10 minutes exercising, and 10 minutes doing your chores. And it's only 30 minutes of your day, but you're so productive, and you get all the main things done, you know, in those first half hour, and it really helps them. We also have fun with them. We always do like races with them or contests, like push-ups or pull-ups, or I don't know. Kids love to be timed, you know, if you just time them on your watch. Let's see how fast you can do this or whatever. They love that. They love doing that. Sometimes they'll exercise with us, you know, and that's enjoyable too. So just whatever you can do to, you know, each family has their own things they like. Find what they like and participate with them in that.
Now, a couple things I'll chime in here. We also have to work with our kids on not comparing themselves to each other and just focusing more on self-improvement. That's one of those life lessons that we tend to work on over the course of our entire life. Another thing you might be saying to yourself is what's being shared sounds so basic. And one of my younger brothers thrives on simplicity. And so much of this is, it's not just about information and you having a good perspective on this. It's about executing. It's not necessarily you need to know more. It's about being true to these principles that you already know, and just acting on them.
Yeah.
Another, I guess, side question to this, and then we have another question from one of our members, is so eating healthy, just budgeting, especially earlier on in our marriage, money was super, super tight. How have you looked at that as kind of the person who runs the food? You're like the kitchen
the
CEO.
how
do we fit that into a budget, or how can others, if money's tight for them, if they're worried about that?
Yeah, it is. You know, you think of healthy food and you think of health food stores and things like that, and they're pricier. And it's, you know, you think, oh, it's so expensive to eat healthy. And it can be if you make, you know, if you choose to go that route. But like Tyson said, there's been times we've been tight on money and it's been difficult. However, I've always felt that having fresh fruits and vegetables, you know, that fresh produce, I'd rather spend our money on that than on doctor bills later down the road. You know, that's just my feel on it and how I feel on it. And so I've always made a priority to have fresh fruits and vegetables in the fridge, you know, and salad and different things like that, just because it's important. It's important to keep your health and do all those things. Yes, sometimes there's been more quantity than others, but we've always strived to do that.
An ounce of prevention versus a pound of cure.
Exactly. So yeah.
Yeah. So another question one of the women in our group asked was, she'd love some good tips on gaining muscle. That's something she's struggled with for a long time. And then, which is a unique question for a woman to ask about.
Yeah.
It's just cool. She's also said, just with how busy she is running around school, birthday parties, family activities, there's no constant rhythm in our meals. I feel like healthy lunches are hardest for us. So tips on gaining muscle, men and women, and then just how to gain rhythm with eating and lunches in particular.
Okay.
I didn't give you a chance to prepare on that one. So.
Well, off the top of my head, I was just thinking of when I first started weightlifting. I was in high school with and my brothers were into weightlifting, and so they introduced me to it. And at first, I was kind of scared of it because I didn't want to end up big and bulky, you know. But what I've learned is that that's not going to happen through weightlifting alone. And it's so good for you. Weightlifting is so good for men and for women. It's good for your body. It burns calories and all of that. It's so good for your bones. It's, you know, it's really great for you, as you know. So tips to gain more muscle. Consistency is huge. You know, a lot of people will just get on a workout kick and they'll go for a few days or a week or two. And, you know, especially with weights, you lift and you get sore and it hurts and you don't like it, so you stop doing it, and then you get on it again a little bit later. That's not going to do much for you if you're just, you know, kind of hitting weights here and there. Same with cardio. You know, of course, any exercise is good, but if you really want results, the consistency of it is key. And you want to work, you know, I try to work every major muscle group in my body at least twice a week. And for women, it's best to use weights that are heavy enough that we're, you can get like 8 to 12 reps, you know, in.
Now, what you just said, we should emphasize that, because I think a lot of women, they don't want to get big and bulky, so they'll take the 5 or the 10 pounders mm-hmm. and do it 50 or 100 times.
Yeah.
That's what you just said is way different from that. Can you share just a little more?
Yeah, like if you're going for big and bulk, you want to go really heavy and less reps, if that makes sense. If you're just lifting 5-pound weights and you're doing 100 reps, it's going to take a long time to really increase that muscle. You know, you do have to put a load on the muscle that's going to actually work it. And so you're going to have to kind of experiment with the weights a little bit, but find the weight. Like if you're doing curls, for example, dumbbell curls, find the weights that are heavy enough for you to, you know, that it's hard for you, but easy enough that you can still do 8 to 12 reps of it, if that makes sense. So that's right where you want to be, and you want to do 3 sets of that, you know. Anyway, that's just one example, but
mm-hmm.
What was the other question? And, sorry, I forgot.
And they may, so on that 10th or 12th rep, they want to not be able to do maybe just 1 or 2 more past that, but all pretty close to hitting failure.
Right.
But they probably don't want to just jump right into that if they haven't lifted weights, or like you said, they'll be so sore over the next 2 weeks.
Kind yeah.
of get it ease in.
We could do a whole nother interview on how to weightlift properly and all of that. That's hard to cover in just a minute or two. But yes, if you've never lifted weights before, you definitely want to start with lighter weights, you know, and work your way into it, because your muscles are going to fill it. So,
great. Yeah. And then her other great answer, great perspective. And then the other question was just as a busy mom for her, just the rhythm and healthy lunches, healthy meals versus, oh crap, we're out of time, let's grab McDonald's.
Yeah.
Like, how do you manage consistent eating when yeah. you're on the go, so to speak?
Well, again, I'm no expert at this. I've had my own struggles with that too, because it can be crazy and hectic with kids and their schedules and things like that. But something that's helped me so much is meal planning. I know that's simple, and you may think, you know, that that's too simple, but truly, I just sit down on Sunday and write down each day of the week what I'm going to make and make my shopping list from that. And you'll be amazed at how much easier it is to make dinner when you have a plan and, you know, it's thought out. You're able to, you know, think about making it healthier, that type of thing. With lunches, especially if you're making kids' lunches for school and things like that. I had a friend who, she made all their peanut butter sandwiches on Sunday and then would freeze them. So they were ready-made, and she'd pop them in their lunch, and by lunchtime they were thawed out and ready to go. You can even put carrots in little snack bags, you know, and have them ready to go. Same with apples or grapes, whatever you're going to put in their lunch. I find things that are made ahead, you know, if it's ready to go and available, it makes it a lot easier to eat healthy when it's available and easy.
That's been something that's been super helpful. We've also invested $100, I think, on a Facebook like garage sale, and found an extra fridge freezer and just a used cheap one. And so we always have stockpiles of extra food sitting in that thing. It costs a little extra money up front, but just always having healthy things on hand helps so much.
Same with dinners. You know, something I found that works really well too is I always cook chicken and lean ground beef in bulk, not together, but separately. And I cook them in bulk, and I'll portion them out once they're cooked into, you know, 1 to 2 pounds of meat or whatever. And then I freeze them so that when I go to make dinner, the meat's already cooked, and it's lean and it's healthy meat, already cooked, ready to go. It makes such a difference. It's a lot cheaper to do it that way than to buy it from the store pre-cooked and, you know, and that thing. So that's a good time saver, and, you know, as well as a way to have healthy lean protein on hand.
Yeah.
Ready great. To go.
So we'll shift to kind of part two of this as we talk more about other hacks and just hitting some other topics here. So Sherry, one of your strengths is simple, healthy, light meals that are fast and easy to make. I know that the tribe is really interested in how to do that better and little hacks for how to change a dense 1,000-calorie meal to faster, easier, healthier. What can you share as far as just that's helped you be a light, simple eater over the years?
Well, I had really good examples. I was so blessed to have my parents. They are so good at cooking healthy, delicious food, and so I learned it from them, but I rarely follow a recipe exactly to the T. Like I substitute a lot in my recipes. For example, like you can substitute non-fat Greek yogurt for oil or applesauce for oil in recipes in certain things, others not so much, but a lot of it's kind of trial and error too. You kind of learn it as you go. And again, that could be a whole nother segment on healthy cooking, but you know, just little things like I usually use kind of half the amount of butter something calls for and that type of thing. It's funny though, with desserts, here's my thing about desserts. I like desserts that are made with full fat, if that makes sense. I used to try to cook desserts that were healthy, you know, and I end up eating twice as much because I think it's healthy for me, you know? And so I like desserts that are, you know, use the full flavor in desserts because they taste better and you actually eat less, typically, I feel, because it does fill you up faster because it does have more fat and you know it has more fat, so you're less inclined to eat a ton of it. But yes, with meals, definitely meal planning is huge, and also learning how to learning that it's okay to deviate from a recipe. You know, if there's something in it that's a little too heavy, try to find something that's a little lighter that could still have the same consistency or flavor.
And some of that goes back to an awareness of things that are really dense, like Crisco, butter, oils.
Yeah.
You use a lot of Greek yogurt too, like fat-free, plain flavor, vanilla for a lot of stuff, even whey protein and pancakes and things.
Yeah.
Just to...
Yeah, for sure. Like I said, sorry, this is kind of off the top of my head. I'm just trying to think of things. But for example, like Tyson just mentioned, I add a scoop or two of vanilla whey protein to my pancake and waffle mix. And it adds, you know, adds more protein to your meal and things like that. They're so good now. They have, you know, high protein pasta even. Stuff like that that you can really... turn something that's typically pretty heavy, like, you know, spaghetti and meatballs or something like that, into something that's actually, you know, delicious and a lot better for you.
Or things like on syrup, getting, this takes an adjustment for many people, but instead of, you know, a quarter cube of butter on top of a pancake with some heavy cream and another 200 calories of full sugar syrup, we buy sugar-free that has, say, 10 calories, and spray butter that has 10 calories. So it's an adjustment, but you put enough of that together over, like, 1 year, and you could be talking hundreds of thousands of calories less and 20 pounds lighter just with these small little things that accumulate every week.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't you say?
Yes, definitely. And you'll find too, like once you start eating lighter, you know, the heavier meals and stuff, you won't even crave them really anymore because you'll like the way you feel.
Yeah.
Eating healthier.
Let's go back for a second to just, you were talking about your injuries, and I know that there's people who have knee issues, ankle issues, feet, just all kinds of things. You mentioned the elliptical is less wear and tear for you, but any other things you want to share on, as it relates back to your exercise and how you've shifted so that you still can exercise given your limitations?
Yes, I genetically have really bad knees. Everybody in my family does. And that's really limited us, especially as we've gotten older. It's, you know, it's harder to do the things we did when we were younger. But so bad knees, I have bad ankles and things like that as well sometimes. But something that's really helped me so much is stretching. It sounds bad, but I never stretched when I was younger, ever. Like, it just took too much time, and I didn't have time to spare, and so I just would go exercise or play sports and not worry about it. But as I've gotten older, especially, stretching has become huge for me, and I stretch about 15 to 20 minutes every day now, typically about, I don't know, 5 to 10 minutes before I work out, and about 5 to 10 minutes after I work out as well. And I found that extra flexibility has helped so much. I used to not be able to do any kind of squats or lunges or anything because my knees just hurt so badly. But now I'm able to do those within reason. I can't do heavy weights. And that's another part of it is sometimes you have to really modify things. Like maybe you can still do squats and lunges, just not with weights, you know, just your own body weight. Start with that and then, you know, maybe add lighter weights and see how you do. I used to run a lot, like I said before, and I've had to cut that down a lot to other types of cardio exercises that are not so hard on my knees, like the elliptical or bike. Biking is good too. And when I do go running, instead of running 5 miles or more, I run about 2 miles. And also just having more variety in your workout. You don't want the same type of workout every single day. You want to work different muscle groups. You want to work different energy systems and different things that, so your body doesn't get all the wear and tear, you know, like when I would go running 5 miles every day, it just destroyed my knees over time because of all that pounding, you know, every day, that repetitive pounding. But now I mix it up a lot with different types of exercise. I do weights, I do cardio, I do HIIT training, I do all kinds of, you know, things. And I have a little schedule I follow for each day. But I found that has helped my body so much to be able to still be active even with limitations.
You bet. Yeah, it's great. So, a few more questions here. You've definitely talked about how you've made this a sustainable lifestyle in terms of you make time for it. This is a priority to you. Let's talk a little bit more about if there's those who have a significant other or families or are married, how do they get them involved? How do you do this stuff when you're on a vacation? Just how do you avoid breaking a habit and then all of a sudden you haven't been eating right or exercising for 6 months?
Right. And it's so easy to fall into that. You know, you get busy or you go on a vacation or something and you fall out of a habit and it's easy to break that. So, something that has really helped me actually is that Tyson is also into fitness, and you don't have to both be like fitness gurus or anything like that, but just that you're both on board and you're both you know, that your health is a priority to you and that you both take that time either together or, you know, when your time allows to fit in a workout. I really appreciate Tyson's support because if we don't have time to work out together, then a lot of times, you know, when it's my turn to work out, he is really good about keeping the boys busy so that I can have that time to myself. And vice versa, I try to do that for him too. Like, oh, you didn't get your workout in today. Well, here, go do it now. And I'll take the boys and we'll go play while you work out. And then you can meet up with us or something. So that's really helpful when your spouse is supportive, so that you can help each other to make sure that you get that in. Also, just keeping it sustainable. I've just committed to working out even when we're even on vacation, and Tyson does that too, and it just helps us stay in the rhythm of it. You know, we don't pig out when we're on vacation. We might eat a little bit more things than we normally do just because we're on vacation, but we don't pig out. We don't not work out. We always work out. We try to find, if we're staying at hotels, we try to find ones that have an exercise room. If they don't, then we try to find a gym nearby or even just go running at the park or something like that. But we always work out on vacation. And again, this is a funny story, but just to see where I'm coming from, my dad, when we were young, we loved to go camping. And my dad would literally bring a pull-up bar and lash it to the trees and do pull-ups in our campground. Like,
she's not lying.
That's where I'm coming from. So I had, again, good examples on staying consistent, even if you're out in the middle of nowhere camping. My dad would definitely bring his pull-up bar everywhere he went. But
If it's 4 a.m. and you're camping with the Hansons and there's yelling going on, it's not bears or attacks. It's her dad trying to get that tense rep in on a pull-up.
So anyway, yes, I realize that's not normal and not typical. But anyway, it's just something I've always loved about my dad.
Yeah, cool. So we've glanced on the effect of being fit and healthy as a lifestyle and how it affects you and I. What about, I guess, when you look and feel your best, how does that affect you as a mom, as a wife, and what kind of generational impact? Because one of the great lessons to learn is that our health and our bodies, they're not our own. They don't just affect us. We affect lots of other people, whether we feel like garbage or we feel like we're the best version of ourselves. Anything you'd want to add to that?
Yes, I feel that it's been good for our kids because they have seen that exercise and fitness in all aspects of our life is important to us because we understand that it affects not just us physically, but like we talked about before, mentally and emotionally, in different ways. And so it can really be a blessing in your life. And I know our children have been raised to feel that keeping themselves healthy is important. You know, that they've been blessed with a body and to take care of it, and that's so important to their health, and also to, you know, one day help their children understand those important things as well. I know that it's affected me in that I feel more confident when I feel and look my best. I think most people do. And I hope that doesn't sound shallow. I just mean that when I'm as fit as I can be for the phase of life I'm in, I feel more confident in who I am. I feel better about my efforts in other phases of my life too. And it just, you know, when I was younger, maybe I think I did exercise more for the, to look good, you know, and, but as I've gotten older, I've realized that really the real benefit comes in how it makes you feel, in all the different aspects of your life. So, that's something that's helped me and maybe, you know, a way I've matured through exercise through the years is that, yes, it helps you look good, but it also gives you so many other health benefits as well.
And that's, I think that's, let's shift as we work towards concluding with this work, the whole mission of the tribe, so to speak, is let's be fit and healthy in all aspects of our life, starting with our bodies. And we want people to join us and we welcome referrals. And but that's the mission, is not just being bodybuilders, you know, nothing against a bodybuilder, but, you know, we're also talking about financial health and mental health and social health and health with our parenting and in our marriages. On those various topics, any things that you want to share? I know that's a very broad question, but just things that have helped you. I just really admire you because you're very balanced in all aspects of your life, and somehow you've found a way to not let different aspects of your life overshadow other things. How have you found, or I guess what are insights you have around those other different areas of your life that have helped you?
Yes, they're all important, and I feel like obviously different things for different phases of life, but where I'm at right now, something that's really helped me with mental fitness is reading. And this is something that's really been a blessing to me. I haven't always been able to have the time to read so much as I do now that my children are a little bit older. So, you know, everybody's going to need to find what fits for them, you know, in the phase of life they're in. But for right now, for me, it's reading. It helps me mentally. I love to read my scriptures. I love to read novels. I love history books. And I even joined a book club. And I love it. And it really helps me to focus and to learn and to continue growing, even though I've been out of school for a long time now. And it actually helps with my anxiety disorder, too. Is reading has really been good for me and has blessed my life to help me be mentally fit.
And you had, as we were discussing this, I like what you said about seasons of life. When we had just had Jake, our, you know, years ago, our oldest boy, reading and doing what you're talking about now was out of the question, because we were just trying to survive with sleep deprivation and poopy diapers and things.
Exactly.
But as kids have gotten older, you have a little more time, and you can, so hopefully everyone understands that there's times and seasons of life where you can do things like that.
Absolutely. And these are just examples. You know, you can, everyone will find their own thing that can help them. But that's one that's helped me. Socially, something that's really helped, and this may even be emotionally as well, but Tyson, a couple years ago, he suggested that I take Thursday nights just for myself to go do whatever I wanted to for a few hours. And he would take the boys and have father and son time with them. And they looked forward to that. They loved that idea. And I got to just go. And sometimes I'd go shopping. Sometimes I'd go to the library. Sometimes I'd just go to the park.
Grocery store.
And read, or go grocery shopping. And it only took a few hours, but I felt so refreshed and renewed after that. I looked forward to it, and it's really been a blessing and a help for me, like with emotional health, just to take that time to do your own thing and have some time for yourself a little bit.
Kind of like adult time.
Adult time.
Versus kid time.
Exactly.
Interacting with other adults in some form, or even just ringing something up at a cash register. and she's right. That became a treasured time for father and son, for us to have quality time too. So we benefited also as a family.
Yes. Spiritually in our lives, something that's always been important and has been vital to me is prayer, taking time every day to pray and to study the scriptures. And we also have time each day with our kids where we share a spiritual thought with them or a little lesson with our kids about, you know, what we were learning in the scriptures and things like that. And that's really been a blessing to have that in our lives to keep us balanced and to have that spiritual fitness is huge, and it affects every other aspect of our life.
Being unselfish and living a life of purpose and meaning it's a huge part of enhancing all the other aspects of life.
It is, and serving others. You know, we try to do service as much as we can together as a couple, individually and as a family, is also a big way to have that spiritual balance in your life.
Yeah, great. Anything dealing with financial fitness, so to speak?
Again, we're not experts on this, but just something that has worked for us is obviously having a budget and following it, distinguishing like between needs versus wants is big, especially with the kids. And something that's helped us too is, you know, a lot of times our kids will want something or to go somewhere or have a new toy or things, and at first we would just say no, you know, that's too much, or no, we can't do that, or no, it's not Christmas yet, or, you know, that kind of thing. But we've kind of started, instead of saying no all the time, we still tell them no a lot, but sometimes we're, instead of saying no, we say, all right, well, let's work for it, you know, you need to earn it. And so we'll give them jobs around the house or ways that they can earn the money, and they have to work for it too. Like, we don't pay very much, so it's a lot of work. But by the time they earn it, they're extra grateful for it and value it a lot more than had we just given it to them. So that's something that's helped.
You wouldn't want to be an employee of ours at $1 to $2 an hour.
If that. Anyway.
Two other concluding questions here, just going back to how you were raised and pull-up bars being lashed to trees and things, knowing that that's unique and most probably don't have that.
Yeah.
So how do people, move forward if they weren't raised in maybe that kind of a fit, healthy type of background? What do they do now to still succeed now and going forward?
Yes. And I realize my upbringing was not typical. And so for most people that are just trying to start now in their life, and that's the important thing, is just start where you're at. You know, don't worry about, oh, I wish I did this 10 years ago or anything like that. Start today, start where you're at, make a plan and stick to it. The consistency part, I think, is the most important. You know, you're not going to accomplish much just doing it sporadically or just picking it up and putting it down every once in a while. You have to really commit to doing it, and make it a lifestyle, not just I'm going to do this for a month, or I'm going to do this to get ready for my cruise, or I'm going to do this because summer's coming and I want to look good in a bathing suit. Like, commit to doing it for the rest of your life. You know, that's the whole point, is that this is a very balanced approach. It's not something extreme. It's not something that, you have to cut out a bunch of things. It's, you know, this is a way of life, and it's a balanced way of life, and you can have it too. Like, just as much as anyone who was raised with it, you can start today and create that for yourself. And we can go more into detail in that if you would like later on, but, that's what I would say, is just be consistent with your exercise, be consistent with eating healthy. There's going to be days where it doesn't happen, you know, and that's okay. Start again tomorrow. Like, just, you have to get right back to it and make it a huge priority.
Hopefully, regardless of what our audience's background is, they've found a few nuggets that they can take away. We're going to do other interviews with other people, because we don't have the monopoly on good ideas by any means, as she shared. But what I like about this, and why I wanted her on as the first interview, is there's something special about getting information from people who are in the trenches, making this happen day in and day out. It's not a textbook theory. It's things that are actually working in people's lives to help them win with this topic. So again, you're welcome to reply with comments, questions. We're pretty casual and mellow, and just want to support everyone in the tribe long term. Any I guess final words of wisdom that we haven't covered on the interview, Sherry?
I would just say, don't be too hard on yourself, and don't get discouraged if it takes some time to incorporate this into your life. You know, it's really hard to go from not doing much exercise to all of a sudden just doing it every single day, or, you know, 6 days a week, or even 3 days a week. You know, you want to start where you're at and not get discouraged. I think a lot of people, you know, they start really strong and really determined, and as they see that, you know, maybe the weight's not coming off as quickly as they'd like, or, you know, things like that, they think it doesn't work, or they just, you know, get discouraged and they fall off the wagon, so to speak. And so stick with it, you know, that the consistency again is huge. It's you know, once you incorporate it, though, you'll find that it's such a fulfilling way of life, to have that balance in all aspects of your life. You'll feel so good. You'll feel so much better. Just be patient with the process and, you know, be consistent.
Awesome. Guys, once again, this is Tyson and Sherry Johnson on this recording today. If you found something that you found valuable, and you have a friend or a neighbor or a family member that you could share this with, please do so. You can find us at fithealthytribe.com, and we're a young new group, and we welcome you sharing this information. We're just trying to reach as many people as we can. Once again, don't be shy about introducing yourself in the Facebook group and in asking any other questions or follow-up comments to this. So, Sherry, thanks for being so open, and example and your perspective.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Thanks, you guys. We will talk to you soon. Take care.
Bye-bye.